I'm going to say yes, like I know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
does. That sounds brilliant.
Sweet.
Lime face.
Lemon face.
I'm going to stretch my face out one way. And stretch it back the other way. My dog is asleep on my feet. He is bony because he is a greyhound.
Yeah, they're skinny.
Yeah, and he's an ex-racer, so he's still in racing weight.
Uh-oh.
So he's super, super slim.
Wow. What's his name?
Ronnie. And his racing name, Nate, was Burgess Oscar.
Neat.
Yeah, and he was a champion. He won loads of races. He was very, very successful in his field, which was running after a piece of rag on a string.
Aren't we all?
What? Aren't we all just running after a piece of rag on a string?
Yeah.
Philosophy with the Commander in Podcast.
I'm Nate Burgess.
I'm Sean Watson.
And we are Commanderin.
Yes, we are. Here is some music.
Mandarin.
Phil couldn't be with us this week because he's busy buying new lug nuts for a portable bassoon case which he's been designing.
Oh, yeah, we're doing this Canadian style? Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's what I heard too.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We're going to put a spotlight on community issues but never talk about four band topics: religion, politics, Hearthstone, and hip-hop.
Yo.
If you like what you hear and want to support the show, go to patreon.com/commanderandmtg and donate. If you donate a buck a show, it helps immensely. And if you donate $10 per show, you get access to extra stuff. Also, check us out on YouTube. This week, we have a wonderful show lined up for you. We're going to talk about Atraxa.
The Praetor's voice.
What does a Praetor's voice sound like?
Oh, hello. Fancy seeing you in the fourth sphere.
There you go.
Okay, so like, what was that? What was that show?
You're thinking of Keeping Up Appearances.
No, I'm thinking of the show in the department store.
That was not Keeping Up Appearances.
Mrs. Slocum.
Miss Slocum and, oh God, what was that called? And it gets played all the time on British TV even now, whereas,
it's like At Your Service or something.
Are you being
something
served?
Like that.
Are you being served?
That's it, right?
And it was Mr. Humphreys.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. If you're flipping through channels and you got PBS, you might stumble upon it and sometime.
If you're looking at one of the four channels we have in England, then you'll probably find it. No, we have more than four now, but genuinely only four until the early 90s.
Wow.
Then we got a fifth one, Nate.
Sweet.
I know. Our worlds were expanded. And the fifth one was showing naked weather reporting and topless darts were its highlights.
Well, that's how you do it in Britain, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's basically a mating ritual, watching topless darts while your parents sleep in the next room and you hope your brother doesn't notice what you're doing under the covers. I mean, no, don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, Atraxa. What is an Atraxa, Nate?
Atraxa is a four-color, white, blue, black, green, not red, there's no red there, from the Commander 2016 deck, Breed Lethality.
Yeah, so Atraxa is the legendary face card from the Commander 2016 deck, Breed Lethality.
Mm-hmm, with human feet.
Yes, and a human chin.
So both Sean and I have had a chance to play this deck.
I liked mine so much I papered it out.
Well, yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So this will hopefully be a practical dive into the deck. Here we go. But first, some news.
News.
So if you've been following along, I've been trying to find the perfect partner for Vile Smasher, the Fierce. And Jason Ault wrote an article on Gathering Magic this past week and I think he's got it right. I think Ludovic Necroalchemist is the correct pairing for Vial Smasher, but then again, I like Grixis, so maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
Also, this past weekend, I visited the San Francisco branch of the Lady Planeswalker Society, and we all played a Plane Chase Commander game. And so I used the stock Atraxa Precon, but I used Ishai Ojutai Dragonspeaker and Rayhan Last of the Abzan as the partner commanders instead of Atraxa.
How did that work out for you, Nate?
I got 20 counters on Ishai, but the deck needs more trample. It really needs more trample because Birds of Paradise stopped me from winning that game.
Yeah.
If I had drawn the Tusk Guard Captain or the Elite Scale Guard or maybe even the Champion of Lamholt, I would have been able to get through. If I had played Languish at the time or Dune Blast, those are all the cards I just mentioned are already in the precon, but I did not draw them. If I had, I would not have died that turn.
Yeah, when someone plays Baleful Strix and you go, aww.
Man.
1-1 chump blocker with Death Touch. God damn it. So I too played some Plane Chase Commander. I used a tuned Veil of the Nightclad deck with all 9 ninjas that have ever been printed in the deck. So it was 100% ninja tribal.
All right.
And it was a really interesting variant of playing Commander. And I won the game by getting to Kamigawa, where whenever a creature left the battlefield, I could draw a card.
Because that synergizes as well.
Yeah, it's almost like it was the one that came in the Veiler Knight of the Ninja Plane Chase deck back in 2012 when it was originally released. So I got there and won from that point. It's amazing what a Rite of Replication can do in a Veiler the Nightclad deck.
Yeah, I use that a lot.
Yeah, it's a
good
one.
And there's a Veiler deck included in the Plane Chase Anthology, correct?
Yeah, and in that deck you get most of the cool ninjas, including the Silent Blade Oni, which is not just a brilliant ninja, but one of the best Dimir creatures ever printed.
Right.
Easily.
Does it let you cast things out of their hand?
Yeah, he's a 6/5, that when he deals combat damage to a player, look at their hand and cast a spell out of it for free.
Neat.
Yeah. So I think Plane Chase Anthology is worth the money, especially if you can get it for like $120. I just think if you're playing a regular steady group, all of you chip in a little bit of money, take one of the decks each, and then share the Plane Chase cards. I think it'd be very cool.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I would do it. It works very well with Commander. It's good fun. Anyway, any other news?
I don't think so. We do have some contest results coming up at some point. The signed deck boxes are in Phil's possession, and we've seen pictures, and we'll let Phil fill you in on that.
Yes, fill you in. So, our main topic, Miss Atraxa Praetor's Voice. This is a great card. I'm going to read this one, Nate, because I'm so excited by it. Atraxa, Praetor's Voice. 1 green, 1 white, 1 blue, 1 black. So redless. For a 4/4 legendary creature, Angel Horror. Flying, Vigilance, Death Touch, Lifelink. At the beginning of your end step, proliferate. And what that means, for anyone that doesn't know, is you choose any number of permanents and or players with counters on them of any kind, then give each another counter of that kind they already have.
Does that work on poison counters?
It does, because that is a counter that a player has.
How about energy counters?
It does, because that is a counter a player has.
Experience counters?
It does, because that is a counter a player has.
Whoa. Note that if you're playing cards with suspend, that does not work, because suspended cards are not a permanent while they are suspended.
No, they're not. Or they're not a counter on a player. They're something else. I guess they're in the exile zone. Do they count as?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they must be. I can't think where else they would be. Because they don't sit on the stack, do they? So, the precon out of the box is a pretty decent one. I think it's generally considered, of these 5 decks, the Commander 2016 decks, the most powerful straight out of the box. Would you agree with that, Nate?
Yeah, I think the Atraxa deck works the best without additional tinkering.
Yeah, and the one out of the box is based around the sort of straightforward synergy of plus one counters and proliferating those counters on your creatures to make them all mahoosive.
Mm-hmm.
So this commander has caused some discussion. I'm not going to say controversy, because controversy implies that it's, you know, outrageous, but some discussion about its power level and how quote-unquote fun it is amongst our deck testers and playgroups and Patreon-y eyes. And I think this commander could become the new Meron slash Aloro. Now,
you think it's going to be major popular?
Yeah, so on EDH Rec, Atraxa is being viewed and brewed around nearly 2-1 more than any of the other Commander 2016 precons, with the exception of Breyer, who is about 50 decks behind Atraxa on week. Obviously, I'm rounding up those numbers because they shift all the time, but that's roughly how it's been. So this begs us a question, Nate. Can Atraxa compete with Aloro, Age of Sesetic, and Meron of Clan Neltoff as the single most brewed commander?
Competing in popularity, it might get up there.
Yeah, I think it might do, and I have a few reasons why. And I said this on our playtesting group, and a couple of the Atraxa players, bearing in mind I'm one of them, got quite almost offended and had to defend their gal. So this isn't an insult. And this is the reason that Atraxa is going to do it. But I'm not even going to talk about Atraxa. I'm going to talk about Aloro and Meron and the things that make them... Well, to understand the comparison between Atraxa and these two other commanders, we need to understand what makes these two commanders popular. So, should we quickly read Aloro and Meron?
Aloro, Ageless Ascetic, 3, white, blue, black, legendary creature, giant soldier, 4/5. At the beginning of your upkeep, you gain 2 life, if he's on the field. But if he's not on the field, if he's on the command zone, then you still gain the 2 life, so you don't even have to cast this guy.
Mm.
But if he is on the field, whenever you gain life, you may pay 1. If you do, draw a card, and each opponent loses 1 life. Meron of Clan Neltoth, on the other hand. 2, black and green, legendary creature, human shaman, 3/4. Whenever another creature you control dies, you get an experience counter. They could be token creatures. It doesn't say non-tokens.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of your end step, choose a target creature card in your graveyard. If that card's converted mana cost is less than or equal to the number of experience counters you have, return it to the battlefield. Otherwise, return it to your hand.
So, yeah, so we need to compare what these two commanders, why these commanders are popular. So both... Point one, both Aloro and Meron are face cards in popular color combinations in recent Commander Precon decks. Point two,
yes.
Point two, both Aloro and Meron support strategies rather than have strategies support them.
I think that's true for Aloro, but Meron, you can build around her.
I think you can build around Aloro as well, but you don't have to.
Yeah, you don't have to think so much when you're playing him.
Yeah, which brings me on to point three, which is both Aloro and Meron have multiple strategies that can be brewed around them. Aloro can support life gain, artifact tribal, Esper control, and Meron supports value recursion, edict control if you want to go heavy black, Golgari toolbox type strategies. So I think Aloro is probably wider than Meron on sort of strategies you can brew around, but I think you can take each of their decks in vastly different directions.
Yes.
Point four. Both Aloro and Meron function as excellent, good stuff commanders. So can't be bothered to have a strategy? Just pick your favorite cards in those colors.
And then the deck still works because, you got the good cards.
Yeah.
And your commander isn't really essential.
Yep. But if you want to play them, they'll help anyway. And if they die, meh. And point five, which I think is an important point, is both Aloro and Meron cost relatively little as regards dollar pounds to tune up to be a competitive deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get decent competitive decks on a relatively low budget on both of these commanders. I think both of these commanders have been mentioned on the Commander's Brew podcast, and that is a $50 budget podcast. So, I would suggest that each and every one of these 5 points apply equally to Atraxa.
Sure.
And that's why I don't think these 5 points apply to every other command. I think every single one of them applies to her, and she is the perfect commander for players that want to go deep into a single strategy and sort of really build around one of the aspects of what the commander can do. But it also equally appeals to the casual player who only wants like maybe one EDH deck. EDH is a format they don't play very often. They're maybe standard guys or they're a GP and people say, oh, should we play some EDH between rounds? I want to whip a deck out. Atraxa is going to be very popular for that as well.
I think Atraxa might become more popular because out of these three that we're talking about so far, she's really the only one that you want to attack with all the time. You can play more aggressively with Atraxa because she's got flying, death touch, lifelink, and vigilance. So, yeah, you don't mind smacking people in the face with her because she's probably getting through.
Yeah, you're getting through somewhere. You're not tapping, so you can still leave her as a defender, and you're gaining life.
But Marin, on the other hand, you're not really going to attack with her unless somebody's wide open, and Aloro's probably not even going to come into the battlefield.
Yep, Aloro is going to sit in that command zone unless you desperately need to draw the cards. So I think Atraxa is going to possibly even dethrone the Big Dumb Giant or the Bedraggled Dragon Queen. If she doesn't dethrone them quickly, I think she's probably got a better chance than any other commander of getting Aloro off his seat or Marin away from her flaming voodoo skull.
Oh, that's a pretty cool skull, though.
Yeah, I think she's just a big fan of the Skullpunk band, the Voodoo Glow Skulls.
Is that a real band, or are you just making stuff
up? No, that's
now?
A real Skullpunk band.
Okay.
We have listeners that like Skullpunk, because I mentioned the band Sublime on a tweet the other day and had some of our listeners talking about them. So yeah, Voodoo Glow Skulls is a real band.
I'll take your word for it.
So that's why, just as a side note for Atraxa, I think when people are saying, oh, this card's so powerful, it's so popular. We've seen really powerful commanders get printed before. Leovold, for example, Narset. I mean, they're popular, but they haven't automatically gone for the Aloro Meron throne. And I think Atraxa will. So anyway, moving on to my new deck. The Blessed Completion of Phyrexia.
And that's using the Beatles spelling?
That is using the Beatles spelling, yes. When these decks were announced, I surprised, I think, Phil, and we were going to talk about them and brew one each and talk about it. I didn't automatically go for the greenless deck. My love for Phyrexia is stronger than my hatred of green. So I've never built an Infect deck.
Really?
I'd never built an Infect deck. What? Not once. I don't think it's a particularly strong strategy in our format.
Well, what do you think now?
I'm playing Infect slightly differently. So this is a full Infect deck, but not in an aggro style. So the plan is to give every player a single poison counter quite early in the game and then proliferate with a control shell to try and win. So either keep a Traxer out for 9 turns minimum, or try and proliferate a few other places and then keep a Traxer out as long as I can to keep the poison counters going up. I also run, I think, 10 Planeswalkers as a backup wing con.
Okay.
Yeah, so there are, it's sort of semi-super friends as well. And I've got a few cards that just dump +1/+1 counters on stuff, just because they're really kind of handy to have. So I'm kind of running the three main Atraxa strategies, but really looking Infect with a backup super friends, although I'm not running Chain Veil. So I'm not going to talk about the super friends element now.
Are you running the Doubling Season?
I have Doubling Season and Deep Glow Skate, yes.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because why not? Now, we can't poison people, Nate, without creatures that do infect damage, can we? So,
Are you sure?
I can't think of any way of giving everyone a poison counter without an infect creature.
I think there was a way to do that.
I'm not running it if there is.
Okay, keep talking and I'll look stuff up.
So the best way, the two best creatures for getting poison tokens on people quite quickly are Ichor Rats and Blighted Agent. Now, I'm not going to read through every card in this deck plan because, quite frankly, that's just two men reading cards. But these two I'm just going to mention. So Blighted Agent is very simple. It's one and a blue for a 1/1 creature with Infect, Human Rogue, and Blighted Agent is unblockable. So you can get that down nice and early. Start trying to tag people with nice infected, unblockable poison counter. Ikarats is like the star of the deck, though. So Ikarats is 1 and 2 black for a 2/1 creature rat. It has infect, and when Ikarats enters the battlefield, each player, so it does you as well, gets a poison counter. Now, a word of caution with Ikarats. If your opponent is also playing a Traxa, don't do it, because they will poison you out. just consider that a dead card in your game. But as far as tutoring, I'm going to abuse that green to go and get a creature tutor, a quick creature tutor like Ella Damry's Call and Worldly Tutor, early game if I can, to get the Ikarats out, get that one token on everybody, and then we can get going. Another good star for spreading the blessed infection is the Hand of the Praetors. So I've got their hand, I've got their voice. Eventually I'll have a whole Praetor all for myself. Hand of the Praetors is 3 and a black. It has infect. Other creatures you control with infect get +1/+1. And whenever you cast a creature spell with infect, target player gets a poison counter. So if you've been unable to get through someone's defense, you got the hand out, cast one of your little weenie infect creatures, and it will tag someone with a poison counter so you can start proliferating the hell out of them. So Nate, did you find some infect cards that are not creatures?
I did. So there's Caress of Phyrexia. It's a sorcery. Target player draws 3 cards, loses 3 life, and gets 3 poison counters.
Ooh, okay.
For 3 black-black. Decimator Web is an artifact. Costs 4, and you pay 4 and tap it. Target opponent loses 2 life, gets a poison counter, then mills 6 cards by putting the top 6 cards of the library into their graveyard. Relic Putrescence, 2 and a black. You enchant an artifact, and whenever that artifact becomes tapped, its controller gets a poison counter. Hey, you like that soul ring? That's a nice soul ring you got there. You want to tap it? There's Virulent Wound for just a single black. It's an instant. Put a -1/-1 counter on target creature. When that creature is put into a graveyard this turn, its controller gets a poison counter. And there's one more. Pistis Strike.
I beg your
pardon. For 2 and a green. You're getting struck by the pistis.
Oh, right in the pistis.
2 and a green instant. Destroy target creature with flying. Its controller gets a poison counter.
So I'm not running any of those.
Do you wanna?
I would consider the Caress, because it's a powerful thing. 3 poison.
That's 3 poison counters at a time,
yeah. Yeah. The others I wouldn't bother with.
All right.
I'll tell you why I wouldn't really use those, Nate.
Why is that?
That's because all I really want to do is get a single poison counter on each of my opponents.
Would you play Virulent Wound for just a single black and kill somebody's, you know, 1 toughness creature?
No. I would stick with things like Scytherix, which is haste. I know it's a lot more than 1 poison counter, but it's got haste on it. I also run Grafted Exoskeleton. So all my little utility creatures I've got in the deck that don't have infect can have infect. And occasionally having a Traxa as a 6/6 flying infector will, you know, just kill someone.
Right.
Yeah.
That Solemn Simulacrum is now dripping with poison.
Yeah, and he's a 4/4 as well. So, at worst, you're going to draw a card because someone's going to block it and kill it, maybe. So, everyone has now got a poison counter, Nate.
Man.
How best to spread the glory of Elesh Norn? Well.
What's that proliferate keyword you were talking about?
Yeah, so aside from Atraxa's proliferate, she is the most reliable proliferate engine I have, because she's no investment. In fact, she's all upside. Once you've played her, you can just sit her there, flying around saying, well, you can attack into me if you want, I'm going to kill something. And because it happens on your end step, that's quality. But there are some other ways of proliferating. There's the 2 Contagion artifacts. Contagion Clasp and Contagion Engine. Contagion Clasp is a 2-mana artifact. When it enters the battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature. Pay 4 mana, tap proliferate.
Boop.
Yeah, it's a good one. And the -1/-1 counter, remember, you can proliferate that So people get additional -1/-1s. And Contagion Engine, 6 mana. When Contagion Engine enters the battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on each creature target player controls.
Oh, that's mean.
Yeah, it's good because it gets past Hexproof, because it targets the player.
Mm-hmm. So you need Orbs of Warding or something to prevent that.
Yeah. So it's a good one. And then you can pay 4 and tap it, proliferate, and then proliferate again.
2 proliferates.
Yeah, it's good.
For 4 mana. Hmm.
There's Inexorable Tide, which is a quality card. It's a blue enchantment for 3/2 blue. Whenever you cast a spell, proliferate.
Hmm.
Now, I've ultimated a Tamiyo Field Researcher, chucked the Inexorable Tide out and killed everyone by just casting all my spells for free. One of my favorite cards in this deck is Tezzeret's Gambit. 3 and a Phyrexian blue, so it means you could pay 1 blue or 2 life. Draw 2 cards, then proliferate.
Yeah, I think that one already comes in the pre-con.
It is in the pre-con. It is. Which I'll mention some other cards I've kept in there. Now, there is a very recent card which doesn't have the keyword proliferate on it, but you might want to consider for this deck. It's from Kaladesh, and it is Animation Module. It's a 1-drop artifact. Whenever 1 or more +1/+1 counters are placed on a permanent you control, you may pay 1 generic mana. If you do, you can create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature token. Now that's pretty good in this deck because you've got a bunch of planeswalkers, so you want to chump block them. But it also has pay 3 and tap it, choose a counter on a target permanent or player, give that permanent or player another counter of that kind. So it's a budget proliferate, but I've killed quite a few people with the animation module, who I've just needed to get one more on them, and they've ignored it, dismissing it as a rubbish artifact for a lot of the game, and then it's just gone, boop, bye. Oh, you should have gone to the hospital, shouldn't you?
Man. Do you use a unwinding clock to do that every turn?
Perhaps I should, you know. It's not in the deck, but I'm running the Contagion Engines as well.
Yeah, it depends on how many artifacts you're running.
Yeah, it might not be worth it. I am running a bunch of mana rocks, but I'm not sure I have that many mana sinks. Maybe I'll try it. So speaking of mana rocks, some quality cards from the pre-con that I left in. Astral Cornucopia. It's an artifact with XXX as its casting cost. Enters the battlefield with X charge counters on it, which means if you pay 3, you get 1 charge counter, 6, 2, 9, 3, etc. You probably only want to pay put 1 charge counter on it for 3 mana, though. You can tap it, choose a color, add 1 mana of that color to your mana pool for each charge counter on Astral Cornucopia. But of course, with your commander, it only takes a couple of turns of having a Traxxer out, before that is a Gilded Lotus. A couple more turns, and that is a Gilded Lotus and a Soul Ring that produces coloured mana. A couple more turns after that, and you're getting into a magical Christmas land with this card. And that comes in the pre-con, Nate.
Yeah, it does.
One of the best board wipes in the whole format is in this pre-con, Merciless Eviction, which is 4 and an Orzhov. Choose one, exile all either artifacts, creatures, enchantments, or planeswalkers.
Yeah, I use that a lot. When the colors work for it, that's one of my staples.
Yeah, me too, and I run a lot of Orzhov off decks. And of course, Deep Glowskate, Take a Drink, which is the fish that doubles all counters on any number of permanents. Now, it doesn't do your poison counters, that one, because players are not permanents, but when you...
But it does let you ultimate all your planeswalkers.
And you've got 10 very good ones in the deck. Yeah, who doesn't like ultimating a Tamiyo? Either one. I like Tamiyos.
Yeah, that can be useful.
Yeah, she's awesome. Right, so you've played against this deck, Nate. How do you beat it?
If you know it's coming in your meta, then you're going to maybe look into Malira Silvok Outcast for 1 and a green legendary creature human scout 2/2. You can't get poison counters as long as she's on the field, so... If you put her on the field, Atrax is going to try to kill her. Creatures you control can't have -1/-1 counters placed on them. And creatures your opponents control lose infect.
Mm.
So you can't even poison other people.
Yeah, it just protects you from this particular build of Atraxa's major strategy. It's good, yeah. I mean, I found playing with the deck, it's really hungry for space. So I've not managed to find a lot of space to put decent amounts of counter magic into it, despite it running blue. So you are a little bit susceptible to sort of big, powerful instants and sorceries and stuff you can't deal with once, you know, enter the battlefield triggers and stuff. If your opponent's playing smart and they board wipe early in the game and can stop everyone getting a poison counter, that can keep the Atraxa, this build of Atraxa, out for quite a chunk of time. So don't be afraid to board wipe, even if it's only killing a couple of the infect creatures, because that can really make a difference on the pace. Imagine you're essentially on 10 life. Failing that, the best way to stop this deck working is keep Atraxa in the command zone. When it loses that every turn proliferate, it really loses quite a lot of its strength. And she's cheap to start with, but you only have to kill her a couple of times before she's becoming 8 mana to cast. So if you're casting, you're not really doing anything else.
And then you have to play Magic normally.
Yeah, boo.
Like the rest of us.
And the other way is smash it up with high power creatures. So most of the infect creatures, with the exception of Scytherix, the Blight Dragon, have quite a low power and toughness. So like a decent Gruul, Smash Face, Trample, huge butted, huge attack creatures deck will beat it down fast. Even though it's kind of playing an aggro style, it's not the fastest aggro style, it's more like a control aggro style. So aggro will take it out. And no one else at that table is going to bother you while you're smashing the Atraxa player, or especially the Atraxa Infect player, in the face.
Yeah, that's a public service.
Yeah, they will just say, you go for it, Xenagod. You go for it. He goes, cheers, I'm having a party over here, guys. That's really it. I'm not going to keep telling everyone how to beat my deck.
Yeah, we'll have a link to Sean's deck in the show notes.
Yeah.
Moving on to, let's talk about the cards that are already in the pre-con that might be good to keep. So all of these cards, I'm not going to read the whole cards, but all of the cards that I'm going to mention here, they all have the word counter or proliferate, and they come with the precon, and there's a lot of them.
This is more for the +1/+1 counter strategy, which is a popular one for Atraxa.
It is, yeah. Yep. It's mainly focusing on putting 1/1s on your creatures and making them bigger.
Mm.
So in enchantments, Hardened Scales.
Mm.
You can probably take a drink for that one. Bread for the Hunt. Cathar's Crusade. Definitely take a drink for that one. In the sorcery category, Sean already mentioned Tezzeret's Gambit. Now, for instance, there are Solidarity of Heroes. There is Inspiring Call. For artifacts, Sean mentioned Astral Cornucopia. And there's also Cauldron of Souls, which gives everything Persist. So if they die, they enter the battlefield with a -1/-1 counter on it. Do you ever use that offensively?
You can do in this deck. I used to run it. I discovered that card from listening to Josh over at the Command Zone podcast. And it went straight into my Maelstrom Wanderer deck. So I guess in Atraxa, yeah, you could say, I'm going to give all your stuff. But I guess it's already dying anyway if it's got Persist. I don't know. Not sure.
Yeah. Well, if you yourself are using a lot of creatures with Enter the Battlefield effects, then Cauldron of Souls Persist makes them enter the battlefield again.
Yep.
If somebody board wipes. Boop. Creatures. Let's keep most of these. How about Thrumming Bird that proliferates? Scavenging Ooze can get a counter by exiling creatures out of people's graveyards. Tusk Guard Captain gives all your creatures trample if they have a +1/+1 counter on them. Champion of Lamholt gets counters by itself if you play more creatures.
Yeah, it's a good power.
Creatures with power less than Champion of Lamholt's power can't block creatures you control. I had a fun time with this card by copying Nick's Champion of Lamholt and then doing a kicked right of replication on his Hornet Queen. And I had Parallel Lives out, so I think I got 90 counters on Champion of Lamholt. So, Rayhan, Last of the Abzan, it's one of the partners. Vorel of the Hulklade, just doubles counters on things. Crystalline Crawler is a creature that you can convert its counters into mana. Forgotten Ancient gets counters whenever anybody plays a spell, and it can dump all the counters on somebody else.
Yeah, I left that one in my Infect deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ishai, Ojutai Dragonspeaker, it's a pretty effective Voltron commander if you can get some trample on it or make it unblockable, which you have the colors to do. Corpsejack Menace doubles +1/+1 counters that go on creatures.
Mm.
Fathom Mage.
Fathom Mage, it evolves, and every time it gets a +1/+1 counter, you draw a card.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a cool Japanese one of those.
Master Biomancer gives all your creatures free counters when they come into the battlefield.
Yep.
Elite Scale Guard. Elite Scale Guard is a creature that whenever a creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it attacks, you get to tap target creature defending player controls.
Nice.
Deep Glow Skate. We've talked about that a bunch. Colonian Hydra is a Hydra that doubles its counters. Juniper Order Ranger. And Gave. Guru of Spores. Gave, Guru of Spores.
It's officially Gave, we found out. Yeah.
Yeah, and we talked about that in our Big Tokens episode, our very first Big Tokens episode.
Yeah, we did.
So now, some cards that are not already in the precon that still have a +1/+1 creature focus. So if you sneak over to Saskia's deck, we strip it for parts. Take the Managorger Hydra, take the Mycoloth, take the Primeval Protector. All of those have something to do with +1/+1 counters.
They do, sorry. The Mycoloth's excellent with its Devour 2. Can I recommend a subsection on this category? If you're doing the +1/+1 counters deck, you need to get stuff through for attack. So I think you need to look at a section of stuff which makes everything unblockable effectively.
Yeah, the Tusk Guard Captain will give them trample, and the Elite Scale Guard will tap down the defenders.
You have blue, so I highly recommend Sun Quan, Lord of Wu.
Oh.
Gives all your stuff horsemanship. If you ever wanted to watch a giant Hydra riding a tiny horse. Archetype of Imagination, which is effectively the same card. It gives all your stuff flying, but removes flying from all your opponent's creatures as well.
So we need some spiders with reach.
Yar, that's the only way around that one. They won't get past Sun Quan, though. I look at all these things and think they need to connect when they swing, and there's a good way.
So there are some lands that will add counters to your creatures. Orin Reef the Vastwood, it comes in tapped. You can tap it for a green, or you can tap it to put a +1/+1 counter on each green creature that entered the battlefield this turn.
Very nice.
It doesn't have to be your turn, but it helps if it is.
What if I don't play a lot of green creatures? Is there any way I can put it on just each creature I can control, Nate?
Well, you'll still have to be playing in green to use Gavany Township, which is a land that taps for colorless, or you pay 2, a green and a white, and you tap it, and you put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control.
That's a very powerful card, the Township. Very, very good.
Yeah.
So, counter-based card draw and ramp. Such a thing does exist. So, Armorcraft Judge lets you draw a card for each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it when it enters the battlefield. Gyre Sage, which has Evolve. Tap, add a green to your mana pool for each +1/+1 counter on Gyre Sage. That can go nuts.
Do you have that in your deck?
I'm not running it. I just ran Rocks. To be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, or I think I might have cut it and put in just a Kadama's Reach. Something like that.
Sure.
Fertilid, a very good one. 2 and a green for a 0/0 creature, elemental. Fertilid enters the battlefield with 2 +1/+1 counters on it, and you can pay 1 and a green to remove a +1/+1 counter. Target player searches his or her library for a basic land card and puts it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffles their library.
That seems good in a 4-color deck.
It seems excellent in a 4-color deck where you're going to get to use it once every turn, effectively, without it ever dying. You also have Chasm Skulker. So this doesn't let you draw cards, but it does let you abuse the fact that you're going to be drawing lots of cards because you're in blue.
Whenever you draw a card, put a +1/+1 counter on the Chasm Skulker. And when the Skulker dies, you create X blue 1/1 squid creature tokens with Island Walk, where X is the number of +1/+1 counters on Chasm Skulker. And luckily, blue is quite a popular colour in our format, so that Island Walk becomes quite relevant, yeah. Realm Seekers, I won't read the entirety of, but it's an underrated card from Conspiracy and has been reprinted in this deck.
Oh, it's been reprinted in the Kainos and Tiro deck. Both Chasm Skulker and Realm Seekers.
Yeah, sorry, not this deck, this set. Yeah. What do you think about the Vivid Lands, Nate?
For mana fixing, there are Vivid Lands. They come in with two counters that you can tap them for any color of mana. I used to think they were great, but you could proliferate the counters on them, but you don't really care after the first few turns.
No, I don't like them because they come in tapped. If they came in untapped, I'd use them.
Mm-hmm. There is another type of land that you can put counters on it and proliferate. These are storage lands like Molten Slag Heap, although you couldn't run that one in Atraxa. Let me find a better example.
Salt-Crusted Step. That's the green-white one. Dreadship Reef is the blue-black one, the Dimir one.
Yeah, so this is a cycle of lands that tap for colorless, or you can pay one and tap it to put a storage counter on the land, or you can pay one and remove X storage counters and add X mana of any combination of two colors, depending on what type of land it is.
Yeah. They can get good. So if you're ever not using that land, just tap a storage counter on it. And, you know, if you want to cast a big spell further down the line, you're just going to proliferate and proliferate onto it, and it will get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's almost like having a little mini Crucifix. I mean, it's not quite that good, but, you know, if you squint and turn your head sideways, it's kind of like that.
If you get a counter on it, proliferate a little bit, and then cast a Deep Glow Skate or something, then it can last you for quite a bit.
Yeah. So we've not talked about many white cards, Nate.
Yeah, let's move on to the category where you put a counter on all of your creatures. Micaeus the Lunark for X and a white, legendary creature, human cleric 0/0. It enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. You can tap it to put another one on there, or you can tap it to remove a counter and put a 1/1 counter on each other creature you control.
Not bad.
Then there's, we've talked about this one before, Archangel of Thune. 3 white-white creature angel, 3/4 flying, lifelink. Whenever you gain life, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control.
And the artwork looks like the actress Felicia Day.
Oh yeah, I think they based it on her.
Yeah, they did. It's a cool card. It's getting damn expensive, though. A popular mythic from a not very open set, M14.
Yeah, it goes well in any life gain Orzhov deck, maybe Aloro or Karlov or Kumble even.
Ailey, it's not bad.
There is Patron of the Valiant. 3 white-white creature angel, 4/4 flying. When it enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control that already has a +1/+1 counter on it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a bit win more, that one.
Yeah, and if you want to do it in green, there's Renegade Crassus. Crassus. Which has a cool picture on it. For just one in green-green, it's a 3/2 with Evolve. That's an important keyword for this kind of deck. Also look into Graft, by the way, but that's a different subject. Whenever Renegade Crassus evolves, put a +1/+1 counter on each other creature that already has a +1/+1 counter on it.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. Double up your evolve triggers. Not just your evolve, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, so in addition to Evolve and Graft, which are mostly in green or Simic, there is Bolster. Do you use Bolster?
I think I'm running Dragon Lore Dromoka the Eternal. Because Dromoka the Eternal attacks with one of my Infect creatures and gives it +2/+2.
Right, and that happens on the attack trigger, so yeah, it gets the counters before the damage.
Yeah, get the poison through.
There's also an instant called Scale Blessing for 3 and a white. You bolster one, and bolster means you look at all your creatures, find one with the lowest toughness, and put a counter on it. However many counters the bolster number says. So Scale Blessing bolsters one, and then you put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control that already has a +1/+1 counter on it.
Hmm.
I think if the focus of your deck is heavy on +1/+1 creature counters instead of the other themes we're talking about, like Infect, or we're going to get into Planeswalkers later, you might do better with Ishai and Rayhan as the partners in the command zone, and you put Atraxa in the 98. And you might draw less Atraxa-related hate by doing that as well.
Ishai is so underrated.
Yeah, he gets big fast. If you played with a Taurian Mauler or a Forgotten Ancient or a Managorge Hydra, then you have an idea of what Ishai is going to do. With commander damage, even.
Yeah, he only needs to get to 21. Wait, it's 1-1 starts. You only need 20 tokens on him, which sounds a lot, but actually you can get quite easily in an Ishai-Rayhan sort of combo.
Yeah, and if you're familiar with the modular keyword, that's basically what Rayhan does, except it's not restricted to artifacts.
Yeah, Rayhan's really good. Really, really, really good. You got a few combat trick things here.
Yeah, there are some creatures that, if your other creatures have counters on them, this gives them extra combat abilities. I mentioned Tusk Guard Captain. Each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter has trample. I could have used that one. Abzan Falconer does the same thing with flying, but both Atraxa and Ishai already have flying, so I don't know if you want to use that. Now there's Einok Bondkin for 1W. Creature Hound Soldier 2-1. It's got Outlast. I don't care about that. Each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it has First Strike, which Atraxa already has Death Touch, so yeah, if you have Atraxa being vigilant and never tapping when she attacks, then you have a blocker that's going to kill anything.
This next one's one of my favorite cards like this.
Then there's Abzan Battle Priest. 3W, creature human cleric 3-2. Each creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it has lifelink, and it's got Outlast as well.
That can save you, especially as your creatures are going to be pretty, pretty big.
And if, in case everyone's punching you because you're playing Atraxa.
Yeah, which they do.
Then there's Battlefront Krushak for 4 and a green, creature beast. It cannot be blocked by more than one creature, so it's like an inverse menace. And it does the same thing for each other creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it. So they can't multiple block your creatures.
That's all right, I guess.
Yeah, if you're already using a lot of trample, it gets more effective.
Moving on.
Moving on for some funky weird things to do with counters. Hey, what if you don't want to take any combat damage? How about Spike Weaver for 2 in green? It's a 0/0 that comes into play with 3 counters. You can pay 2 to remove a counter from it and put a 1/1 counter on target creature, or you can pay 1, remove a +1/+1 counter from Spike Weaver, prevent all damage that would be dealt this turn. So if you have a Traxa and a Spike Weaver and you're proliferating those counters, you can not take damage.
A lot.
A lot. Unless multiple opponents are attacking you, which they probably will.
And I know we've mentioned this card before, but it is a slug with the head of a spider, which is literally a creature from my very nightmares put onto a card.
Ooh. Yeah, you gotta team up those nightmares.
God, you know, all it needed would be centipede legs as well, and I have a deathly fear of centipedes. Ugh, God. Yeah. Ugh.
Now I know what my next theme deck will be.
We can say, now I know what I'm sending you in the post for Christmas.
A box of dead centipedes.
A box from Nate? What could it be? Could it be some cool new Dominic? As the yellow-headed Chinese centipede launches at his face.
Yeah, spring-loaded. Like those cans of peanuts, you know?
We're now with real centipedes. Hey, there's a new card here. What does this one do?
Selfless Squire. 3W, creature human soldier 1/1. With flash, surprise, when it enters the battlefield, prevent all damage that would be dealt to you this turn. And whenever damage that would be dealt to you is prevented, put that many counters on Selfless Squire. Very nice. So it works once and can get big if somebody really, really punches you.
Really hurts. There is, of course, the Hangerback Walker, if you want to create a bunch of Thopters, basically does what the Chasm Skulker was doing before. So it doesn't do when you draw cards, but you put tokens on him and when it dies, it explodes into a whole bunch of hard-to-block creatures.
Yeah, it turns all its counters into Thopter tokens.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Does Brea use this?
Brea does use this because Brea likes to abuse those Thopters, yeah.
She is the Thopter queen.
Yep, young and sweet, only 17,000 years old, because if you're made of Ethereum, you're immortal.
Yeah, she doesn't look like she has internal organs to worry about.
No, don't need to worry about kidney failure if your kidneys have been put in a dish and replaced with metal shards. Trust me, I know. Mm-hmm.
yeah, you do?
I think I need a doctor. You did this to yourself, Mr. Watson. Right, so doubling. Primordial Hydra is a good one. This one's getting a little expensive as well now. Primordial Hydra enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it, and it's 2 green and X to cast. That's where your X comes from. At the beginning of your upkeep, double the number of +1/+1 counters on it. And Primordial Hydra has trample as long as it has 10 or more +1/+1 counters on it. Everyone likes 10-10 tramplers that become 20-20 tramplers that become 40-40 tramplers, and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm. There's Solarion, which I think we talked about in one of our encyclopedias. It's for 7, it's an artifact creature. It's got Sunburst, which is probably pretty good in a 4-color deck. And you can tap it to double the number of counters on it.
Nate, it wasn't in an encyclopedia. It was in when we played Sean's Puzzle Box.
Oh, that's where it came from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Evolution Vat, 3 mana for an artifact, 3 and tap it. Tap target creature and put a +1/+1 counter on it. Until end of turn, that creature gains pay 2, a blue and a green. Double the number of +1/+1 counters on this creature.
Yeah, so it's like Vorel of the Hulklade, but you gotta pay 7 mana instead of 4.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I wouldn't run it personally, but you know, there you go. It is an option if you're going for a slightly less tuned deck, I guess.
Oh, Vorel only costs
2
green and blue to activate that ability on Vorel of the Hulklade, who is also in the precon, as well as Deep Glow Skate and Colonian Hydra. All those are already there, so yeah, use them.
Can we just start calling Vorel of the Hulklade Andy of the Hulklade?
Sure.
Yeah, cool. Andy of the Hulklade. Go get them, kids. They're great.
And Colonian Hydra, whenever it attacks, you double the number of +1/+1 counters on each creature you control.
Oh, God, that's a good card. That was an expensive card that's just been reprinted in these precons. So thanks, Ethan and gang.
Yay. So how about some artifacts that have counters on them? Speaking of the Solarion with Sunburst, there is Pentad Prism for 2. It's an artifact with Sunburst. And if you remove a charge counter from Pentad Prism, you don't have to tap it. You can just remove a counter. Add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. So, I would argue that this might be better than Astral Cornucopia, especially if you're in a 4-color deck that's using Vorel of the Hulklade and Deep Glow Skate.
So it comes in with 2 and then proliferates for 3. No, the Cornucopia is better.
Oh, okay.
I've never had a Pentad Prism reliably giving me 8 or 9 mana a turn.
I've seen Nick Jarigowski using some doubling effects with Proliferate, and he was doing that.
Well, he's a bad man and should know better. Hey, what's the next card?
Next card is Lux Cannon for 4. It's an artifact. You can tap it to put a charge counter on it, or you can tap it to remove 3 charge counters and destroy target permanent.
Nice. Very nice. Actually, I'd consider that one.
Yeah, just blow something up.
So some stuff does -1/-1 counters to destroy people's things. We mentioned the Cauldron of Souls earlier. Midnight Banshee's heavy on the black, but it's a card worth considering. 3 and 3 black for a 5/5 creature spirit with Wither, but at the beginning of your upkeep, put a -1/-1 counter on each non-black creature.
Yeah, I use that in a few decks. It's pretty good.
Yeah, mono black deck should drop it in, absolutely. Black Sun Zenith, X and 2 black for a sorcery. Put X -1/-1 counters on each creature, then shuffle the Zenith back into its owner's library. So I have Black Sun Zenith for 1, knowing the proliferate is going to start going, but I can use +1/+1 counters to knock the -1/-1 counters off my own creatures.
Yeah, they do cancel each other out.
They do, yeah. You don't get... So if you've got a -1/-1 counter and you earn a +1/+1 counter, they balance each other out for abilities, but you just remove them both off the card.
You don't have them both sitting on the card for some reason.
Yeah. The Atraxid Precon does come with Languish, which for 2 and black-black, all creatures get -4/-4 until end of turn, but I would swap that out for Black Sun Zenith, because then you can put 3 -1/-1 counters and then proliferate selectively, and then you don't kill your Atraxa.
Yep. Note to everybody, if you're running Doubling Season is not an optional ability, so if you have those -1/-1 counters on your own creatures, you have to double them with the Doubling Season.
Yeah, so Cauldron of Souls and Doubling Season is not going to be as fun a time for you.
No.
So, Sean has already talked about the Infect focus of his deck, and if you go back in our archives of Commanderin and listen to episode 25, we talk about Azuri Claw of Progress, and I had a build specifically with the focus on Infect. You might put Azuri in your Atraxa build, maybe, yeah. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. And also in that episode, we talk about Karlov of the Ghost Council, which also could be relevant in Atraxa builds if you're gaining life. Hey, Atraxa has lifelink, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. She absolutely does.
Yep.
One of the things that people mention when they talk about Atraxa is they say this phrase, she'll be a really great Super Friends commander, won't she?
Yes. So for those who don't know the term, Super Friends is what we call a deck that has lots of planeswalkers, because each planeswalker is going to be a superhero in some kind of twisted Hall of Justice or Legion of Doom scenario.
Yeah, if you're a big fan of the Commander's Brew podcast, this section is not going to be for you, because this is far from budget.
Yeah, planeswalkers are, they tend to be expensive.
Mm.
In money pounds.
Dollar pounds. Even the cheapest planeswalkers that are worth playing are going to be a minimum $5. But you're really looking at, sort of for the better ones, $10 to $20 each.
Yep.
Yeah, so obviously planeswalkers, if you're proliferating, their tokens are going up. You want to run stuff like Oath of Gideon, so when you cast your planeswalkers, they come in with an additional loyalty counter on them, and you're going to keep ticking them up. And if you can just keep dropping them on the board, your opponents, unless they've got like Garruk's Wake or something, are going to struggle to get them all off. And because you're in Esper Colors, you can run a super good control shell to keep them alive. Which is why I think Atraxa might be better than Angus McKenzie as the Super Friends commander of choice. Some choice planeswalkers for the deck, though. Tamiyo Field Research, we've already mentioned. Ajani Steadfast, if you get his ultimate off, you're going to win pretty fast. All the Ajanis, with the exception of the red one, obviously, are pretty good for this deck. The recent Nissa is worth putting in the Atraxa deck, in my opinion, even if you're not running it as Super Friends, because she ultimates the turn after you drop her.
Is this a Sage Animist?
This is Vital Force.
Vital Force.
Yeah, and it's a Vital Force. So she comes in on a 5 and ultimates on a 6. So she ultimates automatically if you're running Oath of Gideon, but her ultimate is whenever you play a land, you draw a card, which is super powerful. And even without a Super Friends dedicated strategy, if you can just drop her in and you've got a Traxa and maybe a couple of other bits bobbing around, you can protect her for a turn and just ultimate. I don't think I've ever played her and not got the emblem off the turn after.
Yeah, I suspect she's probably in a lot of Gitrog monster builds.
I bet she is. Yeah. Ugins and stuff. Like, Super Friends, we've spoken about before. The Nissa Voice of Zendikar's okay. Gives you plant tokens.
Well, it's her -2 ability that puts a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control.
Yeah, that's good.
And Ajani Steadfast will do the same thing and put a loyalty counter on each other planeswalker you control.
Yes. As I say, all the Ajanis are excellent. Nate's got a section here called Janky Feel Bad Wins.
Yes. I think that's accurate.
I agree. So, a card I desperately hate, but you normally see it in Azuri Claw of Progress, is Sage of Hours. 1 in the blue for 1/1 wizard with heroic, which is whenever you cast a spell that targets him, you put a +1/+1 counter on him. You remove all +1/+1 counters from Sage of Hours. For each 5 counters removed this way, take an extra turn off this one. With Azuri, that just goes infinite. Yep. Hey, I got 2 mana infinite turns. GG, guys. But with... in Atraxa, you can get...
It would take a bit of work.
Take a bit of work, Atraxa. But you're going to get turns quite often, so it might be worth chucking it in. Azza's Elocutors, I thought about running.
Nate, I bet you did.
Please read this one. It's a stupid card.
Okay, for 3 and 2 of these hybrid white-blue manas, Azor's Elocutors is a creature human advisor for 3/5 power and toughness. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a filibuster counter. These guys love to talk. Then, if it has 5 or more filibuster counters on it, you win the game. And whenever a source deals damage to you, the player, remove a filibuster counter.
Yeah, then there's the 2 stacks ones. So Smokestack and Tangle Wire.
They are artifacts with counters, and nobody likes playing against them.
They switch off everyone's ability to play magic. Yeah, I ordered a Tangle Wire. I didn't ever play with it. The one I ordered, I didn't order it specifically, but it was signed by the original artist.
Okay.
It was very nice. So they must have had a surplus back at the Magic Madhouse, which is where I ordered it from. They sent me an autographed one. There you go. I might give it away as a prize because I'm never going to put it in a deck. So we opened up to our Patroni group some questions about Atraxa because she's a much-discussed commander. We're going to relatively quick-fire these. Andy Bentley asks, how abusable is Atraxa in the 99, and how would she be best used in a Josh Lee Choir-style make-everything-5-colors deck?
I've thought about a 5-color deck with one or more of these Commander 16 commanders. I think Atraxa is decent enough to just throw in there, and probably Saskia, too.
Didn't think of Saskia. I wouldn't bother with Brea.
Yeah, Brea requires a lot of support, I think.
Brea is the opposite of Atraxa in that the deck is built around her rather than she is in the deck, which is built around itself. Andy also asks, how political is Atraxa? Can you give counters to other people? I'm going to take this one. I think there is a potential for a group hug Atraxa build. Now,
okay.
Take some convincing to do it and say to people, no, this is group hug Atraxa. She does have...
I don't believe you.
She does have Bant in her colours, which is the, I guess before Kaneas and Tiro, is the group hug colour combination with Feldegriff and stuff. So I think... if you've got more ways of giving your opponent stuff +1/+1s and you're trying to just keep people off you, yeah, I think if you're a bit silver-tongued, you could do it.
Yeah, you got to be diplomatic as hell.
And it has to be a playgroup that knows that you're not just going to go, Skitherix, you're dead. Oh.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Okay, so last question from Andy. Also... what do you find is a difficult deck to play against with Atraxa, other than Malira, Silverhawk Outcast? I answered this before, I think. The Gruul fast aggro punch you in the face decks.
Like an angry Omnath with tokens just hitting you?
Yeah, it's anything that's just going to circumvent sort of your ability to... yeah, anything that's just fast and just bam in your face is going to be a real struggle for Atraxa to play against. And that comes back to almost classic-style control versus aggro from Standard. There you go.
Yeah, I think black decks with heavy board wipes would do pretty well, like maybe Kalidus, Traitor of Ghent, or most of my Grixis builds.
Yeah, my Shieldred decks, which just run bunches and bunches of Edict effects, Atraxa's going to struggle with that. Because you're creating a lot of creatures, but you're not necessarily creating a lot of tokens. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Unless you've got Gave Guru of Spores out. He's very good for counteracting that strategy. Okay, Henry von Stoke the Borg from our Patronies asks, what are some unusual but powerful uses of the Proliferate mechanic?
Well, we've mentioned Planeswalkers, we've mentioned the janky... feel bad wins. What else do we got?
Unusual but powerful. So what's... I think the Azure's Elocutors is a good example of that. because that could win you a game.
Yeah, in my Azuri Claw progress build, since he uses experience counters and he's using infect, I do have some proliferate cards to take advantage of both.
Very nice. I think, you could consider dropping some of the experience counter commanders into the deck and just ticking up your experience counters. What else has got weird counters on it in the game? There's going to be a bunch of stuff that later on we think, oh yeah, I remember that. I'll come back to you. We'll redux this on our next episode, which will be Breyer, maybe, possibly. Don't quote me on that.
There are some blue-white cards that put... I'm thinking of Guafa, the Profiteer.
Yes, Guafa's when he was on the Commander's Brew. But you only need one token on them to really make it work.
Is there something that puts fading counters on your opponent's creatures?
Oh, there you go. The fading cards is very good. So Parallax Wave and Parallax Tide are both excellent cards that you can proliferate on.
So Parallax Tide has Fading 5. It's an enchantment for 2 blue-blue. If you remove a fade counter from it, you remove target land from the game. And Fading 5, it's like Suspend on your upkeep, you remove a counter.
Mm-hmm.
And when Parallax Tide leaves play, each player returns to play all cards he or she owns, removed from the game with Parallax Tide. So if you're proliferating a counter on this to counteract the decay on your upkeep, then you can just eventually get rid of all the lands.
Yeah, Parallax Wave is a white version that does that for creatures.
Yes, and Parallax Nexus for 2 and a black removes cards from your opponent's hands.
So, question. Does Strionic Resonator, this is from Henry von Stuckeborg as well, does Strionic Resonator double Atraxa's entire proliferate trigger or merely one of her targets?
It should be all the stuff.
Yeah,
proliferate. Each instance of proliferate lets you pick all the targets you want.
Yep, it's its own trigger. Well, that happens once and then it spreads its targets out like a virulent plague of completion. Last one from Henry. How would you play Atraxa without using proliferate?
Since it has proliferate on the Atraxa card, I'm not sure I understand the question.
I think if you weren't building around any kind of token or counter strategy, could you use it? I think with a 4-4 flying lifelink, death touch, vigilance creature is a fairly solid bet for a Voltron commander, but I think it'd be rather boring.
Yeah, but nobody's going to believe you that it's just a Voltron deck.
No.
Until you kill
them all. It's like when you put out Joyer and you say, I'm not running Eldrazi or Mass Land Destruction. No one believes you. Just, you might as well put them in because everyone's going to treat you are. And last but not least, from the First Lady of Commander in Jackie Miller Time, she says, I don't like Atraxa. I mean, I think it's powerful, but really boring.
That's not a question, but insightful.
Thanks, Jackie. So, any last comments on Atraxa before we end this show, Nate?
It's a good commander, it's going to be popular, and I think it's probably even going to show up in a lot of five-color decks, just because who doesn't want a flying lifelink, death touch, vigilance, 4-4?
I mean, I play with Gisela Brokenblade, and I play with Baneslayer Angel, which are basically angels that are cheap to cast and have a bunch of abilities. So if I'm running the right colors to play Atraxa, I'm going to put her in.
Would you play Audric Lunarch Marshall in your Atraxa deck to give all the rest of your creatures flying lifelink, death touch, and vigilance?
I've not. I think Henry Stuckenborg does. And there was someone else in our Patreon group who was asking, I think it was possibly Paul Haberman, who's another one of our patrons, was asking about stuff in his Atraxa deck. What can I put in here that has indestructible that I can spread around with my Aldrich? So people are thinking about that combo, Nate.
Great.
Yay! So thanks for hanging out with us, gang. If you want to support our podcast and all the good things that we like to stick right in your ears,
ow,
head over to patreon.com/commanderandmtg, and you can give us $1 a show. And if you donate £10 per episode, you can do other cool things with us and get access to our early content and some exclusive content that Nate is normally responsible in creating.
Or just give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
And subscribe to our YouTube and like our videos.
Yeah, that is good. We love our...
Sometimes there's actual video.
That's true. Yeah. we love our listeners, especially, yep, you listening right now. Yeah, we love you the most. We're incredibly grateful to you and all our patrons. So come and get your gratitude and influence, especially like Jackie Miller, who asked some questions. That wasn't a question, Jackie. Henry Stuckenberg, who I think we might have mentioned last week, but asked a load of questions. And Andy Bentley again, because he also asked a bunch of questions this week. Our theme song was created for the podcast by...
Nate Burgess.
It was. Our logo was created for the podcast by MrPicto.co.uk, with assistance from Kelly DeLuca. Our special thanks go to TechWiz's Jesse Thompson and Graham Frank, and to Justin for his server space. You can reach us by going to our website, CommanderInMTG.com. Our email is cast@CommanderInMTG.com. You can find us on all the social media by searching for us at CommanderInMTG.com or CommanderMTG Podcast. Individually on Twitter, you are...
@MrPlorg. And you are...
I am @Copain26. And Phil is...
He's @KetJack, with a K and another K.
And a J, and an E, and a T, and an A. Not in that order. And Nate, could you do us the honours?
And that's our show.
Yes. Music. I'm gonna stop the record now.
Commandarin.
I'll tell you why. Because all we really need, Nate, is to get one poison counter on each of my opponents.
Boop.
Why boop?
No, that was not an edit boop. That was a, like, boop you on the nose with a poison counter.
Oh!